It's time for Eco Talk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
But that ostrich is beginning to take its head out of the sand. On today's program, we are bringing you the latest news that is a little bit encouraging. Rallies on Capitol Hill, heroes from down under, and the eco power of one Harry Potter. Whatever the fate of Alberto Gonzalez, whatever the latest positions on the war in Iraq may be, climate change is the hot topic on Capitol Hill this week anyway. Thousands are rallying in D.C. on Capitol Hill, and Al Gore is testifying before Congress all about climate change and what to do about it. It's also an honor to have Tim Flannery with us today. He's a scientist and noted author of The Weathermakers, The History and Future Impact of Climate Change. And last but not least, Harry Potter takes a green turn. You'll want to stay tuned for that. Our first guest is Adam Colton. He's a Senior Director of Congressional Affairs at the National Wildlife Federation, and he's here to tell us all about a very successful rally on climate change. Thanks for joining us. How was it?
Oh, it was fantastic, Betsy. We had thousands of people out on the west front lawn of the Capitol on a beautiful day. Folks came in from every state, and it wasn't just listening to terrific speakers from scientists, religious leaders, Native Alaskans, and politicians who are leading the fight on global warming, but these folks who bust in from all over were taking the time out of their schedules to go up and make visits with lawmakers, and so there was a tremendous push up on Capitol Hill to try to push for legislation that would be meaningful at reducing global warming pollution. So a lot of energy, a lot of effort, and you can really feel the momentum on our side at this point.
Did you see much news coverage of it? Because I didn't see much on CNN.
Well, there was a crowd of reporters out there, but you know, it's always you always hope for more. But from a kind of a grassroots mobilization perspective, the fact that so many folks were up on the Hill, so many lawmakers were hearing from their constituents, it was certainly a success from that standpoint.
Well, this certainly is a green letter week with Waxman's hearings on the politicization of science starting the week out, and then the rally, and then Al Gore's testimony. Do you think it represents, you know, the unequivocal arrival of climate change in the nation's capital zeitgeist?
I mean, this is become a titanic issue. There's no question about it. But you know, we feel, you know, a great sense of urgency. I mean, certainly the hearings. There's a hearing every day on the issue. A tremendous amount of attention on a whole bunch of different committees. So it's great to see the attention, the oversight. You mentioned Phil Cooney, the oil industry lobbyist turned administration official, censoring documents turned oil industry lobbyist again, up on Capitol Hill Waxman's committee. I mean, these are oversight hearings that we never had last Congress. So it's great to see that, but still, we really do need to get something done. And you know, there's still a long way to go. So we definitely have the wind at our backs in terms of momentum, but there's a lot of pressure because if we don't pass legislation, you know, the scientists tell us that we've got a short window here to start reducing global warming pollution, to pass something in the short term that can put this cap in place and put us down a path of reducing emissions 2% a year so we can get pollution in check in the U.S. and get a new global agreement. So we're anxious to capitalize on the environment, and there's still a lot of intransigence. I mean, Pelosi created this new Global Warming and Energy Independence Select Committee, but the Republicans put people on it that are all avowed global warming skeptics, people like Wayne Gilchrist and Vern Ehlers and others in the Republican Party that want to do something that believe the science were kept off. So we still have a lot of work to do.
There's also some concern that there may be some thought that it's a good strategy to wait till 2008 to really introduce significant legislation and to just go ahead with smaller bills. What do you think about that strategy?
You know, I think that the American people made a number of changes. I think we saw that global warming was an important political issue. Energy independence wasn't. I think there's an expectation that the Congress starts to get things done. I mean, there are a number of things that can help reduce emissions in a meaningful way, and that ranges from aggressive increases in the fuel economy standards, requirements that we get an increasing percentage of our electricity from renewable energy, and ultimately a cap on emissions. Obviously, the guy guy in the White House, President Bush, despite mentioning global warming in the State of the Union, has not shown an inclination yet that he'd sign the right kind of legislation. So that is a problem, and it may mean that the final kind of cap and trade bill doesn't get enacted for, you know, more than 600 days or so. Yeah, out. But still, you know, we've got to start making progress in both the House and Senate, and that means bills need to start passing committees and in one chamber or another to put us in a position where we can enact something meaningful.
And do you think we'll see a continuation of the pressure leading up to what seems to be a tipping point, especially since next month is Earth Month and, you know, Earth Day, April 22nd, and never before now has the environment, our environment, you know, been so embattled with new, you know, vigor to really jump in and make more Americans become environmentalists. I mean, it seems like things are really kind of heating up, pardon the expression, to a point, hopefully, of no return even after April passes.
I think so. You know, we saw just in the political realm, we saw John Edwards come out just this week for aggressive reductions, perhaps 80% by mid-century is what he called for in terms of global warming pollution. Sports Illustrated had global warming on the cover.
I think there's
kind of a, you know, Al Gore's Oscar. I mean, there's just a tremendous amount of momentum in the political arena and in the kind of American psyche and cultural arena as well. So it is an issue that the people are becoming aware of and are taking action in their own households, changing the light bulbs, making changes that are to specifically reduce their own carbon footprint. And I think that's going to translate too in a desire to see political change.
Of course, what we really need is scalability of, you know, things like solar power and I guess wind power, not that we can all have wind turbines in our backyard. Do you see that in the foreseeable future where more Americans can afford to really get their power from cleaner sources? And what do you think of carbon offsets?
Well, there's no question that every American can make a difference by taking action in his or her own lives. And I think the question you ask is, you know, how do we incentivize that? How do we get utilities to do more? I think the legislation that's been proposed in Congress that would require that we get 20% of our electricity from renewable sources like solar, wind, and other renewable sources is the right kind of approach where we can really jumpstart this thing. There was also the legislation that passed in the House that would shift subsidies from the big oil companies and move it to clean energy. That needs to go through the Senate as well, and we need to start making those investments. So there's no question that there's a lot more that can be done. I think a lot more will be done. The tax committees are looking at things because we do provide these incentives for hybrid vehicles and other things, and we can do more in that area to help jumpstart this movement away to alternatives and renewables. And there's even more we can do in biofuels, as President Bush has even talked about, that, you know, that we can make progress there. So a lot of hopeful signs, a lot that can be done and achieved in the short term.
And in terms of just individuals doing carbon offsetting, do you think that's just a guilt reducer, or is that really perhaps at least a good way to start?
Well, I feel better when I do it. No, I mean, it is.
So does Al Gore, I think.
Meaningful things that are done with when you offset your emissions, and you know, ranging from tree planting and forestry practices and on-farm conservation measures. And I think that a lot of those things actually can be good for wildlife habitat. So at the end of the day, some of these things are kind of a twofer, where we're actually kind of helping habitat for wildlife and the environment, and also it also sequestering some of the carbon, capturing that carbon. So it does make sense, and I think part of that can be part of a legislative solution, and certainly individuals should look at those things in their own lives.
And do you think we still need to do more educating of Americans? I still hear a lot of folks saying, okay, I get it. We're toast if we don't do something, but what should I do? Even though there's a lot out there, you know, I was traveling in Denver a couple of weeks ago, gave a talk, and the woman who was driving me to the airport had not even heard about Al Gore's movie, didn't even know the name of it. So you get out of, you know, green pockets of the country, and hopefully D.C. is becoming one of them. And it's alarming to me how this hasn't quite penetrated all across America.
I mean, there's no question that we have a learning curve still, but we've come so far in terms of people's awareness about global warming and energy use and desire to kind of get get away from our dependence on oil, and the polling is all very encouraging in that area. I mean, we recognize the responsibility at the National Wildlife Federation to try to educate our members and others in the public about kind of what the impacts are, but that there are real solutions, and that it isn't all a negative story, that if we do kind of push forward on the global warming solutions front, we're going to get, you know, we're going to create jobs and enhance our energy security and protect our environment in better ways. And so, you know, this is, we have a lot of work to do, but I know I'm encouraged about how far we've come, and a lot of my little conversations with folks, whether they're in a taxi cab or elsewhere, have been very positive about kind of what people want to do and the kind of actions that they're taking in their own lives.
And a little plug here, that's why we have to keep programs like EcoTalk on the air that inform and inspire, and thank you for doing that today. Adam Colton with the National Wildlife Federation giving us a report from Washington, D.C. on a rally on climate change as people start to really get that this is something that's not going to go away and it's going to take all of us to address it. We'll be back right after these messages with the Man of the Year in Australia, Tim Flannery, talking about, you guessed it, climate change.